The following presentation was recorded at Faith Builders. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
Good day, a beautiful day. Thank you for the opportunity we have here, Lord, to spend some time reflecting. And Lord, it's good to do that here in March as we perhaps are frustrated with some parts of our performance in this school year and other parts we feel very good about. We feel like we've grown in some areas. I pray that you just illumine our minds and our hearts today as we look at these areas and be in our presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Well, I don't know, as a teacher, how do you feel when you know a board member is going to come in and sit in your classroom for a day or two or an hour, or the principal is going to sit in your class, or you have a few parents sitting in your class? Doesn't the blood pressure just rise a little? We're not talking about that so much today as we are evaluating ourselves. And of course, there's limited value in this because we don't see ourselves perfectly or completely or absolutely perfectly, but we do know when we go over a checklist, we can say, well, yes, that's an area I probably don't do too well. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I don't have a clue what I could do better. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm frustrated with some things in my teaching, but I don't know what I should change to do better. Well, maybe this will help a little. You've all heard the saying that experience is the best teacher. And if you've read Howard Hendricks' book, Seven Laws of the Teacher or Teaching to Change Lives, you know that he says in there that that's not true. Evaluated experience is a better teacher than just experience. Evaluated experience. And so just having experienced a terrible situation does not mean that you are now equipped to do that much, much better. Unless you evaluate it, give some hard thought to why it went the way it did, you may not do much better the next time. So evaluated experience is extremely important. By the way, someone volunteered to remind me to pray for the noon meal at the end of this. I'm afraid I'm going to forget. Someone volunteered to make sure we don't forget about that. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. What I want to do today is just walk through this together. And as we just kind of sit back and relax and put your thinking, reflecting hat on and just go down through these and check the appropriate one. We're just going to walk down through, and as we talk about it, you check how you think you're doing. Now, the verse that's the basis for this is found in Luke 2:52, where Luke tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. So we see him increasing in his spiritual discernment, his intellectual ability, his physical stature. In other words, how people perceived him and they walked past him when they related to him. We see him increasing in favor with God and man. We see him becoming better in his relationships and people respecting him more and more. That's the basis for this evaluation. And so we've, Stephen Brubaker developed much of what you have here. And this is a workshop that we presented in Hartwell, Georgia about a month ago. And he presented it there and was gracious in giving me the materials. You'll find many different forms of teacher evaluation. I'm familiar with a number of them. Some of them, you feel like they're all negative. I never lose my temper. I always am kind to my student. And I read through those and I don't even do those because I say, forget it. I'm not Jesus yet. You know, I'm not. Now, so be careful what evaluation you use. I think there's some that are very negative in their approach and impossible. There are others that can be very helpful in reflecting some good things to us. So let's look at the first section here. In stature, increasing in stature. This has to do with my appearance and the kinds of things that I communicate by how I look. So, I'm saving money. Now, you're a teacher. I'm assuming you're not in it for the money, right? So that can be difficult, but it's a discipline to be able to save money. By the way, I haven't mastered all of these areas adequately. I change displays, bulletin boards, and room decorations regularly. That can be tough. Maybe you need to get a parent in to help you. Recruit a parent to volunteer to do a bulletin board. You know, if you got one parent, just take 1 month. Go to the parent, and one parent only have one, have to do it one time in a school year. That's an option. Regularly? Some say, I change mine once a year, and that's regularly. I do that regularly. A lot of people say monthly. And that's what's ideal. I'll just be honest with you. I don't do it that often. I'm blessed by having a secretary this year, so she changes it almost that often. So that helps. I control my spending. Are you a compulsive spender, or are you able to control that discipline, plan? I control my weight. That's a tough one. We like to eat. You know, Mennonites, I was just talking to my wife this morning, you know, Mennonites don't like the idea that gluttony, overeating is sin. We reject stealing categorically. Wrong. But overeating, you know, well, you need to clean up your plate. You don't want to leave, you know, a lot of people starving in Africa. So, you know, anyway, that's sensitive. I dress appropriately with acceptable grooming. Just because you're slender, by the way, doesn't mean you never overeat. I eat balanced meals. Why is that important? Well, a number of reasons. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You take care of it, it's going to function better. You can be free of fatigue and poor health and be able to teach and work more effectively and efficiently. I get adequate exercise. I think we all hear a lot about that these days. We know the benefits. Sometimes just walking instead of driving, or taking the stairs instead of the elevator. You know, you've heard all those things. I get proper amounts of sleep. That may vary. Depends if grades are due tomorrow, or it depends if I have to get a test ready yet. But on the average, you get proper amounts. You know, Jesus stayed up all night once in a while too. So it doesn't mean that you get 8 hours every night, but you take care of it. You take care of that area. I keep a clean, neat, and orderly classroom. I see some teachers who do better at this than I do. I wonder where they find the time, but they make time to sweep that room, to mop it, to put new things up on the walls. I just admire that. I am a hard worker. Can I discipline myself to do the work that needs to be done? All right. In wisdom, I attend workshops and seminars to improve as a teacher. You can all check that one as true. Okay. I can spell accurately, even words like potato. Okay. I can explain a biblical philosophy of education. I would imagine a lot of us have to work at that one. We just don't think about it. We just assume some things. We've been taught that God created the world, that man is responsibility, that he makes choices, that some things are important. How do we get those important things accomplished? Well, one thing is we have school. All right? And so, well, how do you articulate that whole process from the Bible? It's there if you're willing to dig it up. If you want a handout on that, I have a handout I can give you if you'd like to have one. See me afterwards. It summarizes the areas. I can explain the Anabaptist Christian worldview. You know what the Bible says about how nice a house a Christian ought to have, or what kind of clothes he ought to wear, what kind of why he doesn't vote, or why you have a Christian school instead of homeschool, or instead of public school, or how important is it to obey the speed limit? I mean, you name it. Okay, can you articulate a biblical worldview? Does the Bible apply to every area? Met some people who say that what I do on Monday has absolutely no connection to Sunday. All right, well, that's not a Christian life and worldview. I carefully plan and implement classroom procedures and policies. There's resources available. If you don't feel adequate in this area, you can read some books, talk to some experienced teachers. What will it take to plan? I continue to actively advance my general knowledge through study and reading. I think Jonas talked about that this morning. Find some way. You know, some people say they don't like to read. I think you're handicapped as a teacher if you don't like to read. But you know, there are other things you can do if reading is hard work and you can only find yourself working at one book a month or something. Well, there's books on tape. There's seminars, workshops. There's other, finding a good experienced person that you can use as a resource. Those are good ways to advance your general knowledge. I have clearly defined daily goals and plans for each school day. Do you know what you're going to do? The better you plan, the more you accomplish. That's work. I have a good general grasp of the subjects I teach. That's work. I keep neat and accurate records of student work. If you can't keep the records, you need to find a way to do it. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose some respect. You're going to lose something significant if you don't work on this one. I know the school policies and procedures. You know, I've helped write my school handbook at home, but I had to reread that thing several times a year just to remember what it said. It's not me to remember what's in the handbook. I mean, I work hard at it, but I'm guessing there's some of you that need to do the same. I finally decided I need to put it next to my Bible, so I read it periodically. I plan the year of studies with learning objectives well defined. Now that takes a lot of work, and I've had some teachers who say, well, I've never taught this class before. How am I supposed to know? We're just going to cover the material. We're just going to go through the book. Well, I don't always do this well myself, but it is important to spend enough time in that book that you know what's there and you decide what you're going to teach. Try to condense the 50 things that you're going to teach that year rather than just covering those 3 pages the next day. I regularly read a teaching magazine. Take some money sometimes. Subscribe. There's some good periodicals out there that you can get. Talk to your school about finding some. I set regular goals for intellectual growth. I try to have a list of books that I'm working on, a list of books I want to read, and keep them close by to keep reading those. I set and enforce high academic standards. It's easy to go with the flow, especially this year. I was just talking to a few teachers last week, and we were just frustrated with how hard it is to get some students to accept the grades that you give. And it's just be a lot easier to say, oh, well, forget it. You know, fine. Sure, I'll give you an A on that. And the first thing you know, you've really compromised your standards. And you don't want to do that. I speak audibly and articulate clearly with a pleasing quality. Record yourself sometime. It can be kind of uncomfortable. Or get someone to videotape you and sit down and look at that and evaluate. I know I'm always surprised how I sound on tape compared to what I think I sound like. I stay current with advances in my field or fields of study. You know, a doctor, it's always kind of proverbial how much they read in order to stay up to date with advances in medical studies, and they read a tremendous amount of literature to do that. I think we ought to be able, I've talked to some who read, 15 magazines and journals every month. They've got to stay up with it, and they just set aside time to do it. Well, we know that doctors are often a certain kind of person. They have a tremendous amount of drive and discipline. Well, we ought to develop some of that and stay current like Jonah said this morning, maybe just with one area. Just try one area for starters. I support the school policies and procedures consistently. I teach based on set objectives. It's kind of hard to evaluate how well you're teaching if you don't know what you're teaching, for sure. I try to stimulate enthusiasm for learning. Root word of enthusiasm is the Greek term entheos, in God, inspired by God. I understand the developmental characteristics and needs of the age groups I am working with. I use a variety of teaching techniques. I have one student, especially, who just reminds me again and again that she does not like lecture. Okay? She doesn't like lecture. I want to do something. I want to do something. Well, my style, that's my major style, is lecture. If I can't do anything else, I can at least talk for a while. Well, some students, you're not going to bring them in. You're not going to engage them nearly as effectively if you don't vary that. And maybe that is your style. Go ahead and use it. That's probably something you excel at if that's your style. But remember that you will not captivate every student equally. So you need to vary that in order to maintain their interest. If they know that you try to meet their learning style periodically, you'll maintain their loyalty, and they'll give you the extra effort when you lecture with your style. For me, I hated hands-on things. Don't make me do that lab experiment. I didn't like it. Okay. So you have both kinds. I use a variety of teaching materials and resources. A lot of things available today. Find a good teacher supply store in an area close to you. Peruse it often. Be looking for ways, for things, materials, resources that you can use. I use proper English. Every so often I find myself with a dangling preposition, you know. It takes work, it takes time and energy. I use proper English. I write legibly, even on a chalkboard. The other day in class, I had some students presenting material, and at the end of the one student's presentation on the chalkboard, another student said, "Whose writing does that remind you of?" And they said, "Mr. Latham." And he's not here this year, but he was here last year. And they said, "That's exactly like Mr. Latham." All right. It was a good style, by the way. But it was kind of, yeah, big. All right. No problem reading it. It was legible. All right. In favor with God. I am interested in the personal spiritual development of my pupils. I was at a friend's house recently, and it was warm that day. Our children were out jumping on a trampoline, and my little 2-year-old, he's not quite two, he wanted to jump, and he's fairly coordinated for his age, if you don't mind me saying so. And so he's jumping up and down, but of course, when someone else jumps, he instantly loses his balance and falls down. And so he's upset. He's not really throwing a fit, but he puts his, you know, head in his arm. Well, you know what happens if someone else jumps on the trampoline? He's bouncing, you know, that high off of it. And so I was up there beside the trampoline saying, "Come on, you can get up, you can do it." And I was cheering him on, and I turned to my friend and I said, "See, this is mentoring. This is what mentoring is. Come on, get up, you can do it, you know." And he said, "Get up, hurry up. You're a loser, but get up anyway." He said, okay. He was saying how he would mentor, okay. Well, the point is, I'm much more sensitive. And he was making the point, we often talk about this, how we're different in this area. He's much more task-oriented and, "Come on, just get the job done. And, you know, stop telling me how you feel about it." And so, I don't know what kind of person you are. Maybe some of you have no problem being interested in personal spiritual development. Others of you might say, "Well, come on, I'm here to teach chemistry. Let's get through this chemistry." So you can evaluate yourself. I'm improving in my character: forgiveness, kindness, love, honesty. Peter talks about that. Add to your faith. I am living a victorious Christian life. If you're not, you need to find some people to talk to, and you need to search your own heart, seek the Lord. I am an active member of my church. It's easy as a teacher to, school can become kind of your little fellowship. You have people who enjoy the same things you do, who are committed to what they're doing, and you spend time together. And you can kind of say, well, I'll show up at church, but, you know, I'm not really wholeheartedly involved. It takes an effort sometimes. I'm a good example to my students of Christ-likeness. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I am involved in sharing my faith with others outside the church. That's difficult. You spend 8, 10, 12 hours a day at school. Spend a little bit of time with your friends. Sometimes you feel like you hardly meet the outside world. That's how I feel sometimes. And so it's kind of good for me. For instance, yesterday in the post office, normally the guy's not very talkative. Yesterday we were talking about taxes. And so we got to talking about that. And it just felt different to me to be in an intense conversation with somebody who wasn't necessarily a believer. I don't know if he is or not. I need to find out. Okay, I'm committing scripture to memory. Tremendous benefit if you can stand in front of the classroom and have scripture come to your mind that applies. Tremendous benefit. I'm enthusiastic about my life with Christ. Terrible thing to be a bored Christian in front of students that you expect to be Christians. You want them to see that Christianity is a dynamic, life-changing way of life. I demonstrate in my own life the attitudes, actions, and reactions I expect from my pupils. I had a friend who was leading, you know, students on a field trip, walking across the street with a fellow teacher, and he saw the light turn red. You know how those walking lights don't switch immediately. But he started across. Traffic had stopped. Everything was fine. He started across, and his fellow teacher erupted in a temper tantrum about obeying the signs right in front of the students. Well, what would you do? Incidentally, and not coincidentally, he had a terrible relationship with the students, this teacher that erupted. I encourage loyalty to the church and school. Even if you don't agree, and discussions come up, especially in high school, discussion will come up, what are you going to do with that discussion? Can you be honest and loyal to what you believe God calls us to and still support your church? I have a regular prayer life. For 4 or 5 years when I taught, I kept a little index card in front of me on my bulletin board beside my desk every day. A question I heard at a teacher workshop, how can I make the Word of God sweet and powerful to my students? Well, these two things. I have a regular prayer life, and I can read the Bible regularly. That's how it becomes sweet and powerful. Sweet in that it's desirable, powerful in that it's life-changing. I take time for regular personal devotions. That kind of summarizes the other two. Study, however, may have more the idea that you do in-depth study. It's more than just reading a psalm and a proverb every day. Okay, it's engaging some study, getting some resources, maybe finding a study guide you go through as part of your time. It's a good discipline. I try to do a little bit of both, at least several times a week. I work hard at integrating Scripture with all academic subjects. Do you know what God has to say about chemistry or grammar, math, music, art? He does have something to say. Do you know what it is? You need to find some resources. There's some good resources on that today. In favor with man. Here's your relationships with people. I'm able to say I am sorry. Even to a student. Thursday morning, a student handed in his work late, and he said, he was the youngest student in the class out of sixth grade. And he said, "It's not really done." And I thought he was joking about it in a good way, that he was acknowledging his failure in a positive way. Normally he does really well at this. And I said, "Oh, yeah." And I held it up like that, and it just had one line. It was supposed to be half a page. It had one line across the top. He goes, "Hey." He didn't like that. He felt exposed there, which normally some things he would have handled it fine. I just did it spontaneously, and I said, "Hey," I said, "I'm sorry. I said, I didn't realize that you'd be that sensitive. I said, I shouldn't have done that." You know, you need to be able to do that. It's not fun. It didn't feel good to me, but I needed to say it. I'm a positive representative of the school. Anyway, physically, relationally, are you a positive representative of the school? Do you present some polish? Do you have some good relationships that keep you on an even keel? It's an important consideration. I'm enthusiastic about teaching. I love what I do. And I need to let it show. I am considered fair by my students. Is there a sense of justice in your classroom? I am not seen as divisive. I like to mention my coworkers in front of the class once in a while. You know, I was talking to Mr. Peterson, or I was talking to Mr. Lehman, or I was talking to Ms. Hoover. And, you know, or I've said things like, you know, one thing I really like about whoever, and I'll name one of my teachers. I say, "You ever notice how good they are at this?" And I try to do those kinds of things to raise them in the eyes of the students. And it also helps me be seen as a team player and a supportive person. I am concerned about the spiritual and character growth of my students. Spiritual and character growth of my students. Now, we talked about this a little bit before, but this is more in a relational way. Do you demonstrate it? You know, I always thought I cared a lot, but I began to realize when I started teaching that I didn't show it very much. It's kind of scary to show somebody sometimes that you really do care, especially if you're not sure if they want you to care, if you're not sure that they want you to care. They might toss you off. They might reject that. You need to work on showing it. I am seen by my students as an enthusiastic teacher. Enthusiastic. That doesn't mean you're bouncing off the walls. But it does mean that congruent with your personality, whether it's subdued personality or a loud personality or and an energetic and personality, in congruent with that is enthusiasm. I'm not a bubbly person. That's just not me. Okay? And so I watch some teachers, you know, and they're waving the arms and they're going around up there. And if I did it, it's going to be fake. Students will know it. But I have to communicate in a way that demonstrates enthusiasm. I am receptive to suggestions and assistance. A parent came up to me one time, the first year I taught, and said, "Well, our children can tell when you're having a good day and when you're not." Thank you. I didn't like that suggestion, but anyway, I wanted to say, "Well, I can tell what kind of home." but I didn't. I didn't say that. I'm easy to get along with. I am easy to get along with. Doesn't mean you're a yes person. Doesn't mean that. It does mean that you're easy to get along with. Congenial. I am prompt. We'll skip that one. I am positive and optimistic. I'm getting better at being prompt, but I'm not perfect. Few people aren't allowed to say anything in the room here. I can often be found talking informally with students and teachers. One thing I find myself doing is walking rapidly down the hallway, never quite having time. In fact, this same lady, happened to be the janitor, the custodian, that told me that her children could tell when I was having a good day, also said, "Well, you know, you do appear to be a busy person. It's sometimes kind of hard to..." Well, yeah, I, I guess I do, don't I? I tend to be rather businesslike walking down the hall and not more congenial or relational having time to talk. I receive criticism in the spirit of helpfulness. It's not easy. It doesn't feel very good sometimes. I demonstrate genuine concern and willingness to help students with their problems. Again, much easier for some of you than others. I'm going to suggest that if it's on your heart to be concerned and to really spend time on a one-to-one, it's going to be tougher for you to maintain academic. Those of you that are really gung-ho on academic credibility, you're going to let the chips fall a little more on students' personal needs. Okay, you're going to put it right to them. And that's good. That can be excellent. But you're going to have to work on balancing the two. Okay. Lost my spot here. I discipline students in a calm and controlled manner. Be careful that that doesn't mean to you that you never use any expression on your face. You just calmly tell the student that was very wrong what they did. You expect improvement. And, boom, staying at lunch. The Bible uses all kinds of words to discipline people. We entreat. Which beg? You ever begged a student? Please, please. You ever entreated, begged, exhort, get excited about telling them, look, here's what you need to do with your life. Don't be afraid to do that. Doesn't mean that you're just always superbly controlled. I like to see some energy and passion in that process. Students will respond to it as well. I do not overburden other faculty members with repeated sharing of personal problems. Well, there's a tough one. You have to use sensitivity. You'll find one person who receives that very well, and they seem to click. Someone else just may not appreciate it. I have a friend who says he's never been depressed. Never? No, I'm just not depressed. But he says, I know I have friends who do get depressed, and so I'd really try hard to be sensitive. You know? Say, well, okay. I do not show favoritism to any student. I was always, I think every year I've taught, I've been accused of favoritism to the senior class. And so I tell my students, well, your turn's coming, because every year it's a senior class. Okay? Hang around till 12th grade. You'll be my favorite. Well, I just get excited with that age, because they're almost the same as adults, you know, and it's exciting to see that all come to fruition, and they're more responsible. And it's just, they're just more fun for me. And I don't think I'm being unfair or unjust, they can probably see more enjoyment there maybe. But I do honestly pass it along. I don't think I'm too favorite. I don't lose my temper. Again, don't equate that with never getting excited about a student's misbehavior or raising your voice a little bit or at least increasing the intensity of it. It doesn't matter. As long as that's not done in a violent or out of control way. Okay? I told a student one time, I said, okay, if that's how you feel, you just leave this room and you get down the hall and you sit in that room and I'll come down and talk to you. I was uptight. I was angry. Okay? Well, before that, this student had been totally unresponsive to what I was trying to say. And that's why I said, well, and she had just said, he's not going to do it. Okay? Well, when I said it that way, she started crying and started talking again. Okay. Well, I think it helped to do it that way. It was hard for me to do that. I didn't feel very good about it, but I think it was right. I expect the classroom's attention before speaking. It helps to be silent for a moment. We call it a pregnant pause. Something's about to happen. Are you ready? And then you go. If you just start in, students just kind of expect that you don't expect for them to listen. I fulfill my responsibilities promptly and completely. I have a good rapport with students and teachers. I have a good sense of humor. I have pleasant facial expressions. You know, we really could all practice smiling more, probably. Teacher types tend to be pretty serious and intense. You know, well, we're serious about life. It's good to loosen up, lighten up once in a while. All right. I involve the parents of my pupils in their children's education. It's difficult to keep parents too informed. In fact, most of us probably have to work hard to keep them informed adequately. So do you call them? A good time to call them is right over supper time and just say, hey, just need a minute of your time here. I just want to tell you how good Johnny's doing in school. That's a great time to do that. Because then they hang up and say, well, who was that? What'd they want? Okay. But the other morning we talked about there's some teasing going on about in between boys and girls, you know, elementary. You know, who's your girlfriend, who's your boyfriend, and so-and-so, and teasing. And you know, we just talked about the fact that, well, if there's a couple people doing a lot of this, I said, make it really easy for us just to call the parents and just say, hey, just want to let you know this is going on. If you could help us out a little bit, you know, it makes your work so much easier because then it's not just you against the student or you trying to disciple a student that doesn't want to change. You have mom and dad on your side, and that's usually very effective. I keep parents adequately informed with respect to the progress of their children with a positive approach. We've been talking about that. We just add the idea of a positive approach. I keep confidences. I'll just be honest. I've had to work on this. You just happen to say that a little something to the wrong person, and somebody is disappointed. I listen well. I listen well. Do you look someone in the face when they talk? Do you communicate with your body that you're listening? You know, that nonverbal communication experts tell us that if you sit like this with your legs crossed and you're listening to the person and they're talking and they're really sharing, they wanted to share deeply, but you're sitting like this, and it doesn't really communicate a lot of warmth. But if you're sitting and listening, looking right in the eye, it makes a big difference. I had a student just this year. I realized this student was exploding about how they thought I was doing, treating them in the classroom. And anyway, I say exploding. I mean, it wasn't out of hand, except that I did tell them they could say anything they wanted, just don't talk too loud, okay? Well, the student started in, and they said, you're not listening to me, and there's tears, and I realized that I was standing there like this. And so I immediately changed. I really tried to listen with my body, my eyes, my face, and really try to pull in and say, I am listening. I refrain from harboring or conveying negative attitudes concerning students, teachers, or the school. If you have a negative attitude, then you need to do something about it. It may mean you need to talk to the person. You may need to talk to someone who's not emotionally involved and just say, hey, can I just bounce this off of you and help me think about this? I'm just feeling negative about this. I remain calm and in control even when angry or offended or in emergencies. I do in some kinds, and others I don't do very well. And so find the ones you don't do well in and work on it. So often, for me, that incident is in first aid thing. I'm not real good with first aid. So one of the things we're working on is getting some resources for first aid. Familiarize yourself with it. Maybe you need to have somebody in, give a little presentation to your teachers. That way you can be calm and controlled. When Marie and I had our second child, we noticed the baby didn't breathe right away. And we noticed that the nurses were very calm, just massaging. Had him under the warm light, and he was completely blue, and there was no panic, okay? He was also born breech, and so it was a fast delivery. Everything was just really debilitating for Marie and I. So we commented to the doctor later, he said, oh, well, you have 15, 20 minutes to get that baby breathing, you know? and it without brain damage. Oh, really? Oh, that's, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, it's called, I don't know what it's called. It's something with hemoglobin, especially the blood is rich in oxygen in a baby, a newborn like that, to give you that extra. Isn't that neat? Well, that enables them to be completely calm, professional. They can think clearly. They use, well, you can be the same way in your classroom. If you're informed, capable, you've taken the time to work through things, you can be the same way. I respect the authority of the school and church. You demonstrate that in your relationships with people. I am trusted by the school and church authorities. Do they trust me? You know, it is true that you probably have more influence, especially if you're a principal, you probably have more influence with your students, even teachers. I'm going to add that teachers, than what your pastor does over that child. In fact, definitely teachers would have more influence than a pastor, no question. And so they're trusting you. Just by hiring you, they said a lot about their trust factor. Now, you can either build on that or you can diminish it. I start and stop my classes promptly. Stay with the schedule. I take time to build relationships with other students, with other teachers and students. I try to help every student reach his full potential. Now, on building relationships with other students and teachers, a couple ways you can do that. We tried to get together as a faculty a couple times a year for an evening meal, do things together. We went to a ACSI teacher conference every fall, and we always knew that first evening of those 2 days, we always went out for supper and just spent a good 2-3 hours together, just having a good time together. That can be so helpful in smoothing out things in school, because there's a trust factor there. There's a trust factor that we can build on. We know that the other teachers aren't out to get us. They're not out talking about us. Those things. I willingly assist in planning and promoting school activities in general. I work well with a group to plan and organize functions. This takes some work sometimes, but if you're part of a faculty that really has fun brainstorming and planning things, that can just be a very rewarding experience. You need to be willing to say what you think and toss in your two bits, but it can be a lot of fun. I work to maintain a cordial relationship with all staff members. Some of these overlap. I work to maintain cooperative relationship between the school and the home. I work hard to know and understand my students and their needs. It's easy to let that one student who doesn't do very well just kind of slide along. They take extra work, extra energy, extra time. It's difficult. Okay, look at a student evaluation form. Something I haven't done for the last couple of years, but I have done it, is handed out a student evaluation. And this is one form. If you don't feel comfortable with doing this yourself, you can invite a board member or your principal to come in and do this. And I would say this probably works more effectively with junior high and high school than what it does younger students. I'm not sure I'd hand it out to elementary. They often give you the feedback, or you overhear the feedback you need to hear. Good or bad, that's what's neat about elementary. They'll give you an apple, tell you how much they like you, all that stuff. So this is a form for your perusal. I found it to be very effective with high school students, and it could be anonymous. If you want someone else to do it, someone else could type up all the responses. You wouldn't have to recognize handwriting or anything. And just let them know that you appreciate them being honest. On the back is a class analysis by observation. Just some things that you can have someone come in and evaluate your classroom. It's difficult. I know I find it very hard to get around to all the rooms to evaluate. If your principal doesn't have time, find someone else to do it. Get a fellow teacher or a friend a parent, board member, find somebody that'll come in and give you some feedback. And then the back sheet has a teacher's reading checklist. This has to do with improving in some of these areas you've been talking about. Just some books and the short descriptions. If you find a few on there that you'd like, start looking for them. At the bottom is a list of 49 things that characterize effective teacher. You may want to try your magnifying glass on that list. It's there, but it's might old tough to read. Any questions or comments? Observations? Okay, well, thank you. Hope this has been helpful. It's good to reflect on how we're doing. Remember, evaluated experience is much, much better than just experience.
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit christianlearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.